Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. For the benefits of the yogis who are joining here, we'll give a salient points of what are necessary to deepen your meditation. Number one is one has to incline the mind to the cessation or the ending of phenomenon. In other words, you must incline your mind to see the ending of the object, whether physical or mental, that is arising at the present moment. Not simply knowing the object, you have to put a little extra effort to see when it disappears, the end. That's one. Number two, one must practice this mindfulness insight meditation with seriousness, not casually, and also respectfully. Number two. And number three, once you have inclined your mind to the cessation of phenomenon and then giving serious and being respectful to the practice, you must practice in such a way there is no break or no gap in your observation, especially in the retreats. Retreats are from the moment you wake up till you fall asleep. That mindfulness, awareness must be continuous and unbroken, regardless whatever you are doing. So that is it, number three. And number four, we dealt quite in detail. One must utilize all the supporting factors that promotes that becomes conducive to deepening your meditation. It helps you in many ways from many angles. Number five, when you're practicing like that for some time, you will have periods that you have a very good meditation session, which means your mindfulness is very strong and continuous, concentration built up quite deep in, and you felt quite differently than most of the time. Okay? Don't expect them all the time. Sometimes these kind of moments or periods come in. It's really good session. In other words, your concentrations are very good. And whenever these good concentration periods are achieved quite a few times, put them, analyze them, and see what kind of situation promotes that kind of good meditation session. And then remember them and utilize them whenever you are not having a good session, because these are the actual conditions which you require to have a deeper concentration. Number five. Number six is there are seven factors of enlightenment. And these seven factors of enlightenment, you can utilize in two ways, or two different levels, I should say. One is people like you and me, we are all trying to build up this meditation. And in there, we try to develop, we try to become more and more skillful on these seven factors of enlightenment. That is one way, at one level of doing it. Another one is people who become very higher insight and experience. Okay. And a higher level, these seven factors, accordingly, you can use each and individual to adjust and to balance the mode or the mood. When your mind is down or low or slow or depressed or sagging or bored, a certain factor can bring you back up. When your minds become quite deep, okay, then you can pull it up. When your minds become too excited, elated, unsettled, restless, you can bring it down according to the required factors of enlightenment. But one must be at a very higher stage to be able to utilize as necessary each tool. So there are two different levels. So don't think I'm not too high yet, this is out of my reach. No. We have talked about at least about, I think, 7, 8 weeks, 9 weeks, just on those seven. So if you listen to them carefully, you know how to use them, develop them, and practice them. So that is the six. Based on those six, we have talked 36, okay, Dharma talk in the past. And today we are going to talk the seventh factor, which is number 37. How to deepen your meditation. How to deepen the five controlling mental faculties stronger, firmer, and into a balanced state. That is the main theme of this whole Dharma talk. So in here, according to the scripture, one line is, one must practice giving no regards to the limb or the life. So just that sentence itself is self-explanatory. You're practicing, and to succeed in this practice, you're willing to give up a limb, a hand, a leg, or whatever part of your body they might drop, they might get rotten, or whatever, you're willing to sacrifice that. And not only that part of the body, even necessary, even you're willing to give up your life for this practice to succeed. That kind of a attitude. So in other words, one word is determination, aditana. Okay. You are so determined, you become unmovable, unwavering, okay. Unwavering commitment to the practice. That's what it means. So whenever we all try to achieve something, whatever that is, achieve something that is worthwhile, that is valuable, that is important to you. Okay? You don't get it quite easily. You don't get it free. There's no free lunch for those kind of things. Okay? To put it bluntly, if you want those things, there are some things that one need to sacrifice. Without the sacrifice, you cannot succeed that kind of a situation or condition or project or a cause. But it is important and great. Everything is give and take. If you want something that badly, there are things that you need to sacrifice to achieve that. So that is the point that is making. If you want to be totally liberated from the mental defilements and totally escape the physical and mental suffering in which one experiences in the rounds of samsara, in the cycle of life and death and life and death. Okay. So that is a big, big objective or something that you want to attain, not ordinary. To become a millionaire is a lot easier, but to be totally liberated from the physical and mental suffering for good and to uproot it, the mental defilements, kilesa, lobha, dosa, moha, greed, anger, and delusion. That is the greatest objective one can face or one can wish to attain. To attain something like that, you cannot just casually do. There must be a lot of sacrifices you have to go through. Without those sacrifices, I don't think one can attain it. In the scripture, it doesn't represent that way. I'm presenting it this way. Sacrifice. It's just simply, some of you have been to the residential retreat. Okay. Let's say there's a Easter weekend, 5 days. When the Easter weekend comes, what do? We all have jobs and we get friends, we get families, we go out here, we go out there, we hike up here, and we have all the plans we planned up. Okay, fun thing to do. I have to take a break from my walk, from my job. That's what we are doing. That kind of a thing. And that is the norm for this world. We all are. And this is a great thing, to take a break, to get away from the stress. Okay. Under that condition, one decided, instead of having all these fun things planned and doing with friends and families to have fun, you decided to go on a retreat, okay? Residential retreat. First and foremost, you sacrifice what 99.999% say fun and de-stress, okay? Taking a break. You sacrificed that already. And number two, you came to the retreat. In the retreat, you have to get up at 4 o'clock. You sleep at 10 o'clock. You sacrifice your sleep. Not only that, you sacrifice your comfortable, luxurious cushion bed. It's a very hard bed. And you all share a room with 2, 3, 4 people. That's a sacrifice. And then you only eat 2 meals. That's a sacrifice. You sacrifice that. And also, you give up all the music, all the television, all the talking, all the socializing. See? Even just on the little residential retreat, monthly retreat, so many things that most of the people consider it's a great relaxing thing, anti-stress things, pleasurable thing, fun things. You sacrifice those things and you come and do it. So just to have this monthly retreat, there's a lot of sacrifice, which is very obvious to us. Those are the, that's why I said, if you want something worthwhile, you must sacrifice. And when you sacrifice that and you practice because you believe in this method And you have already experienced something already. Some of you have, some are a lot higher than the other. Some are just starting. Without sacrificing, of course, on the level, at this level, we consider these as a sacrifice. At a higher level, all these fun things that we consider that we want to do, we begin to look at as distraction. See, it is just the level where you are. But at this level, this is what you're sacrificing. And then, higher level, if you want to go farther than that, what happened? You renounce. You renounce your job, you renounce your social life, you renounce your family, and become a hermit. There, you can call it sacrificed. Okay. But depending on from which angle you are looking at, viewing it, you become a hermit, you become a monk, or you become a nun, and you practice. In other words, you are totally committed to it. You sacrifice all these social things that we consider fun, family and friends. You go into seclusion. It sounds very harsh, but one who is going into seclusion, seclusion has its own happiness. Seclusion has its own peace. And when they taste that happiness and peace, they don't turn back to this world anymore. Because you will find that happiness and peace is a lot more superior or better than the pleasure that we have every day. Everything becomes relatives. But till you get to that level, everything is a sacrifice. You sacrifice this, you sacrifice that. And now you become a nun or a hermit or a monk. And even a monk, not a village monk, not a town monk, while you were socializing with a lot and helping a lot, you go to the forest just for practice because you have only one objective. That objective is to overcome, to uproot all mental defilements, greed, anger, hatred and delusion, and to escape from this rounds of life and death. In other words, to escape from all physical and mental suffering. That is the objective. That's where we are going. And if you are at this stage, the line the Buddha gave us become vital. You are going to practice with no regard to the limb or the life. Okay, I will drop dead, but I won't get out of this practice. That kind of determination, that kind of commitment is absolutely necessary if your objective is to escape from this rounds of life and death samsara. So that one is specifically directly related to what your most important objective is. Okay, that is from the scripture. And in Burmese, there's also another saying. Okay. I will practice this even if my bones become dust and every fluid in my body evaporated, I will practice. That is the expression we use in Burma. The bones will become dust and every fluid in the body will be evaporated. I would not let go of this practice. And when you have that kind of a determination, that person will succeed. Without that, you won't succeed. That's why it's come in a later stage. But of course, If you all have that, I don't think I'll be seeing you and talking to you right here. You'll be somewhere very secluded under a tree or in a cave practicing. But we are all here. So that means we like the idea of escaping from the realms of samsara. We like the idea of getting rid of all physical and mental suffering. But we are not quite ready yet. We'll take a slow boat. What we are doing is we are taking a slow boat, not a speed boat. So if we are taking a slow boat, then of course we can't practice to the level of my life or my limb. That statement is away from us. But regardless, keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. At whatever level you are practicing, of course, the main objective, the main goal is still far away. We are taking a slow boat. But there are moments and moments, days and days and weeks, we decided to go and tackle that task. In there, keep that motto in mind. Keep that motto in mind. And do the best you can. Because if you have sacrificed all the fun for 5 days and come here and practice, why not push your best? Okay? You sacrifice 5 days of fun and you go to the retreat and you practice and then you don't push that much. You're favoring this, you're favoring that, you're favoring your hip, you're favoring your back, you're favoring your neck. You are giving too much care to your body. This body has to be looked after. If you do that, you are missing the best of the both worlds. You are missing the fun and the pleasure of your daily life because you have left the town for 5 days. And at the same time, you are practicing, and as you are favoring this, as you are favoring that, favoring every part of your body from the welfare of your body, you are also not achieving what you could be achieving in that 5 days. So in other words, you are missing the best of the both worlds. Simply, you wasted 5 days of your time. So keep that in mind. Okay. Here it is. I'll give you an example. A yogi came and practiced. It's a new yogi. He came and practiced. As it is new yogi, we all know we have quite a great aversion towards pain or great difficulty to deal with the pain. Great difficulty to deal with the pain. Of course, instruction is constant to all. Okay, you meditate, you sit down for an hour. Don't move if you don't have to. You can't move at all, okay? And eventually, if you have to, maybe once or twice, even that, mindfully, first of all, know your intention, wanting to move, and then slowly moving, adjusting, and so on. You know the instruction, don't have to go in detail right here. So most of the time, most of the yogis, they are simply new yogis coming in, struggle with pain, go back without much breakthrough. But still, some keep on coming back again and again. But still, they favor the body a lot. My hip, my knees, my back, my neck, my heart, and so on and so forth. And you try to be sensibly, logically, rationally, scientifically, health-wise. I will do this way, I will do that way, the best that you can. Okay, whatever the reason or rational we put out, one factual thing is you don't like that unpleasant sensation. you want a pleasant sensation. That's it. That is the bottom line. The rest are all rationalization. So to go back to the story, there's a new yogi come. There's a problem, as like everybody have the pain. And you sit and meditate. But for this yogi, he or she has a misunderstanding to the instruction. The misunderstanding is, you must not move at all for 1 hour. That is the instruction. That's the way the yogi understood. So the yogi sat down and meditate for 1 hour, and he or she has his determination, I'm not going to move for 1 hour. This is the instruction. It's very highly disciplined personality. So 1 hour, it was an excruciating pain. Didn't move, didn't twitch a bit. Of course, it's burning inside. Okay. It's a brand new yogi. But there's only one thing. Instruction is, you cannot move. And there's a determination, I will not move. That's it. Because there's an instruction not to move. And sat there for 1 hour without a twitch. It burns like hell. Almost like a hellfire burning. You all have gone through the pain. But by the end of that hour, because of that, okay, the pain, we all know, the pain is something that you cannot run away until and unless you run away, it disappears. If you don't run away, it grabs you. It nails you to the wall. So as you don't run away, your mind is constantly engaging in that pain for 1 hour. That produces enormous amount of concentration. And because of the enormous amount of concentration, of course, at that time, you will not think that's concentration. We all think concentration is, oh, you are in a la-la land, floating, nice, peaceful, happy, concentrated, still. Yeah, that is the samatha concentration. But vipassana concentration is moment to moment to moment. You are changing with every moment. But you do not skip away from that moment. That's it. As you don't skip from any moment, moments to moment to moment, that awareness, that observation, that mindfulness is continuous, unbroken, no gap. Not a wind can blow through between. And because of that, that kanika samadhi, momentary concentration, becomes so strong that yogi began to see the pain totally differently, understand the pain totally differently, and even the pain drops, the excruciating pain drops, and you see the breaks between the pain. And eventually, right after the pain, you feel a peace that the yogi has that experience before. Beginner's yogi, just starting, but that yogi has experience where some other yogis might have to practice about 3-4 years to reach that stage. Why? Determination. I will not move. But the key thing is, the yogi believes that it is the instruction must not move, and he simply follow it. Instructions say must not move. Try not to move if you have to once or twice. But regardless, the results are the same. Now, knowing that you can move once or twice, knowing that, and then you sit without moving, that is the doing exactly correctly with your full knowledge and understanding. But regardless, the point I'm making here is determination. Determination can change every aspect of your meditation at any level. Okay? So always keep that motto the Buddha and the scripture said, you'll be practicing, or I will practice with regard to no life or a limb. If the limb falls down, if I fall dead, I will still practice. I will die practicing. And in the scriptures, there are so many practitioners become arhat, go through the process of this pain, in other words, dying pain, and at the death consciousness, they became arhat. Many has been cited and documented. Determination, the will to follow, to be able to achieve what we need and what we desire. Of course, that desire in Pali is called chanda, noble desire, to escape from the realms of suffering, life and death, to escape from the mental defilement, kilesa. So may all of you be able to practice satipatthana vipassana meditation with an attitude and with a non-wavering determination and be able to succeed the objective as soon as possible. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, buddham pujemi, dhammam pujemi, sangham pujemi. Thank you very much.